pray the Lord will be with us and be in the meeting. You pray for Brother John. Sing the verse, pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art called, holy, do not pass me
to see you all tonight, and we do ask and interest in your prayers. And as we were singing that song, it reminded me of how much I need the Lord, not just every day of my life, but right this now. Very minute.
That's it.
That we need him to deliver us. And so pray for me, pray for one another, as we stand before you, that the Lord of glory will simply just have his own way with us.
Yeah.
We'll turn to one of the Psalms this evening. Trusting that we all may find comfort in it. And also that it would give us just another reason to simply praise the Lord. Not that we need any other reason, but our lives are such that from time to time we probably don't do that as much as we ought to do. And but yet we serve a merciful God, and who has not changed because of our inconsistencies or because of our failures to do that which we ought to do. Go just for a few minutes at Psalm 18, if you have your Bibles with you. The first few verses there. Now David wrote this psalm after he was delivered from Saul, and I think you find that psalm, I think, written in the book of Samuel. But David writes here, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. As I think of that verse, well, I'm mindful of us today, and how easy it is for us as little lambs to forget the source of life. You know, Jesus declared himself as being the truth, the way and the life, life. He's the one who gives us life. And sometimes I feel that in this mixed up world that we live in, that we as God's little children, we forget who the source of life is.
Amen.
And we also forget, as David declared here, that the Lord was his strength. You know, we have no, you know, it's interesting because we know the scripture tells us that we have no righteousness in and of ourselves. But if we really examine life, we would find out that we have no strength in and of ourselves as well. We don't have the ability to do anything except the Lord gives us that ability. We just don't have it inherently to do anything that would be right, anything that would glorify God, anything to deliver ourselves in a timely sense in this world. You know, we sometimes with these little, we have these little instances in our lives when we think that somehow that we have been blessed to be smarter than someone or more intelligent than some of those that we deal with, and somehow that through these abilities that we're able to deliver ourselves. That is just simply a falsehood.
Amen.
Truth be known, if we are to receive any deliverances at all in this time world, it comes from the Father of lights.
Exactly.
The Lord our God. He is the only one who provides us with deliverances here. And you know, and I guess probably for us as God's little children, the sooner we understand that truth, the better we are, because we can be at rest about it. I mean, certain things that we find ourselves in angst about it most of our lives. And the beauty and the truth is that we're delivered from that angst, and we begin to rest in the truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think that because of our ability to run the race, of our ability to keep ourselves on course, that in all those things that we're going to find some kind of peace, some kind of satisfaction, some kind of relief. The only relief you're going to find is to be blessed to come to the understanding that you can't run this race on your own. You need to be deliberate through it. And the only way that you're going to be deliberate through it will be by your might. It won't be by your wisdom. It won't be by your strength. But it'll be by that chief shepherd, that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who's going to pick you up. And he's the one that's going to deliver you in a timely sense. And one sweet day, he's going to take you home.
Right.
And it'll all be over.
Amen.
And when we get to that, when we're blessed with that understanding, there's a lot of peace behind that, brethren. There's a lot of peace in understanding that I don't have it within me. You know, Brother Junior prayed one of the sweetest prayers this morning. He's giving thanks for understanding that he in himself was worthless. That he in himself had nothing at all to bring or nothing at all to offer. And that may sound to some very harsh. It may sound to some like he's insane. It may sound to some like he just doesn't get it. But the truth of the matter is that he does get it. And when we are blessed to understand, brethren, that we're sinners. And in that sin, brethren, there's nothing at all good about us. We get in that sin, we don't have a good thought. Our thoughts are motivated by self. They're motivated by self-interest. It's only, brethren, when we're blessed with those sweet thoughts that come up from on high, do they become profitable not only for us, but for those that surround us. You know, I know it sounds sad, doesn't it? But that's just who we are. You know, and while it may sound sad, there's joy in it.
Amen.
You see, because the joy of it all is being brought to that realization, brethren, that Jesus is truly our all in all.
He's everything.
If I'm going to do anything good, if you're going to do anything good, if we're going to do anything to praise the Lord our God, it takes that unction and it takes that grace that comes down from on high.
Amen.
And so David is able to say here that I will love thee, O Lord, it is with the understanding that the Lord first loved him.
Amen.
That the Lord first showered his grace upon David as he has shined it upon us, that we are able to utter those words, that I love thee, Lord. And you know, brethren, there is such great peace in that understanding. See, because some little lambs think that they are that in order for God to love them, that they need to love, and they need to love with all that's within them, that God might recognize that little ounce of love that they may have in towards Him. And not understanding, brethren, that in themselves they have no desire, they had no understanding. They were just like those that God had declared that there's none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
That there's none that understood, there's none that sought. But yet they're trying to take that what they think that they have within them to offer it up to the Lord our God and says that I love thee, Lord. Oh, well, how sweet it is to understand that we love him because he first loved us. You see? So that love that we even offer up is not ours. It is the same love in which we have been loved that we offer up unto the Lord our God. Now David had just been, if you go back and read some of the history of David and Saul and all that's going on there, Saul is now dead. But not by the hands of David, you see. Because David said, God forbid, if he would touch his hand upon the Lord's anointed. Because David understood that God put Saul in that position that he was in. And even though the prophet already told David that he had been chosen, David said, knew that that deliverance wasn't going to come by his hand. It was going to come by the hand of the Lord our God. And in all those struggles and all that fleeing from Saul and all that he went through, David saw in that the hand and the love of the Lord our God. And brethren, when we go through trials in life and we go through all these things in life, and on the other side of that deliverance, even though sometimes we don't see it in the midst of that deliverance, on the other side of the deliverance, what do we see? If it is not the love of God, the love that he poured out upon us, the love and mercy that he showered upon us, not only in that deliverance, but throughout all the entire trouble and trial that we went through. We see in it a picture of that promise that the Lord made that I will be with you in every circumstance of life, even throughout the end of time. That is a promise. And oftentimes the struggles and trials that we go through, that we're able to look back and see the realization of that promise, that I didn't go through that on my own. But truly, it was the Lord who had delivered me. And that same Lord who delivered through that trial, he's going to be the same one to deliver through the next trial.
Amen.
Even though when we end the midst of that next trial, we're going to be just as bad off. We're going to be just as bad off and just as doubtful and uncertain as the one we've just been delivered through. Isn't that a marvel?
God loves.
Isn't that a marvel as to how the joy that we missed because of our sinful nature and our tendency not to lean on and to trust in the Lord our God. And David goes on, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. You see, David recognized that it was by the hand of the Lord that he had been sheltered from Saul, who was trying to kill him. And brethren, that we're blessed to realize that just as we see in that picture of Job, where when Satan came to God and God says, "Where have you been?" and Satan says, "You know, going to and fro throughout the world." That means he's paying you a visit too, and you. He doesn't miss anybody. He just kind of hits here and there. And God said, "Has you considered my servant Job?" Right? And did not God declare Job to be upright and just? How do you think Job was that way?
Yes.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Just as you are. You see, when God looks at you, he declares you to be just and righteous as well. Not because of you. Not because of anything you've done. But by the blood of the Lamb. That same blood that covered Job's sins is the same blood that covers you and our sins this day. And so when David declared that the Lord is my rock, brethren, we need a solid and a sound foundation in order to stand. And that solid and that sound foundation is the rock that David is talking about. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, as long as we stand in the Lord, all is well. You see, brethren, in that stand, in that liberty that we have been given, brethren, that liberty came with a very precious price. It came by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that liberty in which we stand, brethren, gives us access to the Lord our God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's our intercessor. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I and all of those that God had given him in a covenant of grace. So to understand that Jesus is my rock, I understand that in him, brethren, I stand sure and steadfast upon a foundation that cannot be moved, cannot be severed, because the love of God, the love that God has for you, me, and all of those that he gave a covenant to his son, it can never be severed because of that rock. And because of that finished rock, finished work that that rock performed on Calvary's cross, as he shed his blood, and as he suffered the wrath of the Father for you and I. For he who was without sin became sin. For you and I and all of those that God gave him in the covenant of grace. He says, not only is the Lord my rock, but he's also my fortress.
Yeah.
Consider a fortress, brethren. That is that which is put around you as a shelter to protect you.
Yep.
Consider a fort. You know, military has fort. There's rationale behind the fort, behind forts. And, you know, it's to provide a cover from the enemy that surrounds you. Brethren, we have an enemy that surrounds us every day. I mean, the apostle wrote that even when we would do good, that evil is always present. And then, and the Lord told Peter, he said, I'm praying for you, Peter, because Satan desires to have you. And he desires to sift you as wheat. You know, brethren, that applies to every little lamb of grace. It is Satan's chief desire, brethren, to have you and to sift you as wheat. Imagine, brethren, just being in a sifter, being sifted as wheat. I mean, just imagine that picture there. Imagine that being you. Imagine that being your life, and Satan just having his way and having you run here and run there, looking all over the place and not really understanding that all those places that you're looking for, all you really need to do is to look up. From whence cometh your help? Because our help cometh from God. And that is what Satan does not want you to see. He doesn't want you to see the rock. He doesn't want you to see that fortress that's around you. He wants you to be in doubt, thinking that you're all alone, thinking that there's no here and by, there's no hereafter, that all you got is what's right here. That you can see. That is what Satan would have you to do.
Absolutely.
So that he would snatch that joy from you.
Yep. The thief.
Remember now, he can do nothing at all to separate you from God.
Amen.
That is grounded. That is a sure thing that cannot be moved. He knows that. But what he wants to do is to make you to be uncertain of that. to have just that reasonable doubt in your head that you lose hope, you lose joy, and you begin to question yourself. Is he telling you the truth? Well, the answer is no, he isn't. He's a liar. He's always been a liar. He always will be a liar.
Absolutely.
But yet, he was able to convince Eve, huh?
Yeah.
He was able to convince Eve, now did God really say that? No, he knew, God knew if you do that, you'd be just as gods. And so what little Eve did, oh, I want to be just like that. So what did she do? She partook of that which God told her not to do. And what happens to us today? We're suffered, brethren, to not enjoy the liberty that you have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it does. It suffers you, brethren, remembering that he can't take you away from God. But what he can do is try to make you not enjoy being in fellowship and communion with the Lord our God. It has nothing to do with heaven, brethren. You know, when you die, if you're one of the Lord's own, you're going to go to heaven, right? We all know that. And sometimes we're suffered to think, well, that's just all it is. Well, no, it ain't all it is. Life eternal begins right now. It begins when the Lord brought you out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. That is when it began. You want to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy it? You can't enjoy it right here. And right now.
Amen.
Brethren, just remember who you are. Remember the precious price that was paid for you. Remember, brethren, that the Lord loves you, and that is why you love him. He first loved you. And remember that that same Lord that loves you is your rock. He is your fortress. He is your hiding place. He is your strong tower. He is your all in all. And he is even your strength to have the ability to resist the devil, as James would tell us to do. You know, he says, when the adversary comes your way, just resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, brethren, don't think you're going to do it on your own, see, because it's just like trying to smack down a net. Now, you smack down one, and one is buzzing over your head. But what James does say before he tells you to do that, he tells you to submit yourself to God.
Right.
Okay? So your strength, your deliverer, tells you first and foremost to submit yourselves unto God. And if we submit ourselves unto God, then the second part comes real easy. Because if we're walking with the Lord and we're in lockstep in communion and fellowship with the Lord, then all the adversary is just like a little annoying gnat. Because he's not going to move you. He's not going to move you from that in which you're anchored to. And that anchoring, brethren, requires labor. Scripture tells us to labor to enter into that rest. And work out your own salvation, brethren, with fear and with trembling, because it is God who has worked within you to will and to do in accordance with his good pleasure.
Amen.
You see, brethren,
so funny.
There is nothing that you need to work out that God has not already worked within you. And if he has already worked it within you, why does he tell you that all you need to do is simply work it out? You don't even have, I'm not picking. you just had to be in my vision. Oh, that, where was I at?
I didn't know.
Bottom line of what I'm trying to say, brethren, is that, you know, we think that we need to be the inventors of all these different things. We need to come up with all these fancy ideals, when all we need to do is simply to submit ourselves to the Lord and trust in Him.
Amen.
And to obey Him. That's all we need to do. That's as simple. That's how simple it is. It seems simple. But then all of a sudden, we're tempted with the broad way. You know, Jesus said, enter ye into the gate.
Right.
Because narrow is that way, brethren, but few there be that find it. And those few are just not old Baptists. And sometimes old Baptists are not a part of that few.
Exactly.
But sometimes we're out in that broad way. Because the broad way is colored with all kinds of trinkets and little things to dazzle us and to take our interest and just kind of sweep us away. That's the broad way. Now that narrow way is truth. That narrow way has no stress, has no angst. It has trouble, but those troubles are surrounded by that fortress, that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, brethren, we can try to endure those troubles on our own in that broad way, or we can be delivered through those troubles by the rock, our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that not only is the Lord my rock and my fortress, he is also my deliverer and my God. David knew that his God was the God of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. He knew who his God was. He knew. You remember when David, in his younger years, he went to the battlefield. And his brothers were chiding him because they said he was up to nothing but trouble. But he says, who is this infidel that would defy the Lord our God? And this infidel was a giant called Goliath. And David was just their youngster. So David, when David says these things about the Lord being his rock and his fortress and his deliverer, he says this from experience. See, because when David faced that giant, all the armies of Israel had fled. David goes before this giant, and what does he have? He has his little pouch, and he has some stones in that pouch. And David took one stone out of that pouch, and he slung it, and it went into the forehead of that giant, and he slew that giant. And David had sense enough to know that stone which went forth from his hand went with the power of the God of Israel, who is the living God, who is the only God. And David understood that, you see. So he understood who his deliverer was. He understood who his strength was. He understood who his rock was, who his fortress. He understood that his God was his all in all. And brethren, when we as God's little children come to that understanding that the Lord is my home, that the Lord is my all in all, that in him, brethren, we're able to do all things that would be pleasing unto the Lord. But without him, We have no strength. We have no power. We cannot do anything without the Lord. But in Him, hey, we can do it all.
Right.
We can do it all. And that's what the Word of God tells us. Even when the apostle cried out because he was just so overwhelmed by this thorn in his flesh, he cried unto the Lord three times that he might be delivered from that thorn that was in his flesh that buffeted him. And the Lord simply says, my grace is sufficient because my power is manifested in your weakness. Do we not understand, brethren, as little lambs in this world, when we're meek, that's when we're powerful. When we take the attitude, I'm going to get you back, we have no strength at all. But when we're blessed, brethren, to love our enemies, there is power in that love. And that power is not ours. The power is the Lord's. What the scripture tells us, it says when you love your enemies as though heaping coals of fire on their heads.
Yep.
Brethren, love is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing because it comes from God. You know, brethren, when we're able to love those that would hate us or misuse us or abuse us, brethren, when we're able to do that, it is not our power. It's the power of God working through us. And it's to His praise and to His glory. It's not about someone looking at us and says, man, they can take a lot. It's not about that at all. It's about us not being seen at all. But that God is glorified in the midst of it all. That some little lamb is able to see in that the work of God and the love of God, and that that little lamb will be moved to glorify God for that which He has wrought within you, His little lamb, whose conversation was that such as was pleasing unto the Lord our God. And anybody can say, well, I'm going to get even with you. But anybody can't say, I forgive you.
Yeah, exactly right.
And I love you.
Take strength.
Blessed be the Lord.
Amen. Lord, it was good to you, my brother. Amen. Amen. Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And that strength that comes from the Lord is a supernatural, spiritual strength. It's wearing the armor.